Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Hi everybody, how you doing? Welcome to Lost in the Static. Sorry about that loud noise right there at the beginning, but hey. It's Scott and Josh. You're going to get loud noises out of us. It doesn't matter what happens.
Isn't that the reason they listen to the show? Am I mistaken on that?
You could be mistaken.
Well, do you know what I'm not mistaken on?
What are you not mistaken on? Thank you for using Avast.
That's a joke,
Your virus definitions have been updated.
That's a joke,
Thank
guys.
Thank you for using Avast.
Shut up! Don't make me kill you.
I'm sorry.
It's a pre thing. Well, after, okay. Do you know what I am sure of?
What are you sure of?
Great deals. If you go to adamandeve.com, you would get 50% off of a single item. Not one, not two, not four, not six, but three free DVDs, free U.S. shipping, and even a gift so mysterious that they can't tell us, Scott and Josh, what it is. Use the promo code STATIC at adamandeve.com. That is what I'm sure of.
It's almost as if they don't know what the mystery gift is going to be from order to order themselves, because they don't.
Way to go behind the curtain, prick.
But no.
I mean, no, we were joking about the Avast thing right before we started recording.
Josh and I both use Avast antivirus because it's free and it's handy. And
it works pretty well for a free program, too.
It works
too.
Pretty darn well for a free program. And if you don't run it in silent or gaming mode, every once in a while it will just randomly pop up a little window in the corner of your screen and go boom, thank you for using Avast, your virus definitions have been updated.
Definitions?
Yes, only they say it professionally and in a very
almost a sexy British tone.
I was going to say in the most recent version they've updated it to a somewhat British, almost coquettish tone.
A guy I used to work with at Channel 2, there was some commercial we were running about this French chick, and she was speaking French. And he's like, I have no clue what she just said, but I am so turned on. He's like, I don't even know what... She could have been ordering pizza. I don't know. But I am so turned on from her accent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's just the way it is. So, this is episode...
199.
199. We're going to party like it's 1999. No, there's no 99. It's just...
2099?
We're going to party like it's 199. And now, you have told me that you have something... You're discussing episode 200 and changes with me after the show today and a little bit
before
the show.
I'm not dealing with that now.
But we're...
I'm not dealing with that now.
I know. Just you've kept it quiet.
Concentrate on 199.
You have given me episode 199. I said, all right, we can do your 200 thing, whatever it is you're doing, because you're being Josh, if I can have 199. And you said, okay. And I'm a little amazed at that, so thank you. There was no argument or anything. You're just like, all right. So what are we talking about this week, Josh?
Since it's your topic. How the fuck would I know?
Because we discussed it a little bit before the show.
A little bit, but I don't know how to bridge it, and I don't know how expansive you want to get into that.
That's no problem. We've discussed sex and sexual topics on this show before many times, and of course, being part of society, sex plays a part in that. And you were asking me last week after the show, it was strange because you had some very basic questions about the kink community. And this is the, you know, we have...
Shit I just do not get. Like, yeah. I don't even remember how we saw a video or something and somebody was getting peed on or wanted to be peed on or something. Golden showers came up at some point.
Yeah, somewhere.
I don't remember.
Don't ask people. It's safer.
Yeah. And I was just thinking out loud, why would someone get turned on by that?
And
because I'm a father. I made the mistake when my son was really little. My son was born on the first day of summer, so very hot. I had a fan going behind me when I was changing his diaper. Do I need to explain how I got peed on?
Yeah, one little...
It was not fun!
Yeah, one little breath of wind and... You end up getting the same thing happened to me with my nephew Tony.
Yeah, it's not fun. It's, so I just don't understand. And I've seen videos in that. I mean, God, I've seen movies with Annie Sprinkles, and that's one. That's look at her name, Annie yeah. Sprinkles. I don't understand like the golden showers, and I mean, we'll get into some of the other ones later. But like the poop eating, and I'm like, these are. There's a reason it's called excrement. It's not supposed to be on you. When it leaves your body, it's supposed to go away.
Yeah, there's a reason it's waste. But that devolved into, or evolved, depending on how you look at it, into a discussion on the kink community. Because I'm like, yeah, I've been active in the kink community since I lived in Evansville. And here and there, there's not really a big kink community up here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. But I've got contacts down in Chicago, and weekends we go to, and fun stuff here and there. So you started asking me all these questions, and it was another one of those, you know, we really should just
It was just things I don't get. Now, there are things it's not like questions like, I don't know about this stuff, or I don't know people that do it, or what's involved. What I don't get is why it's pleasurable for people. I don't get the mindset of, I want you to poop on me.
See, I'll be honest, I don't do the scat thing. I don't understand it. And that's the name for the poop side, because you've got water sports and you've got scat. I don't do either one. Not that I don't understand the power dynamic, not that I don't understand the turn-ons, but it's a wing of the bondage dominance sadomasochism, or BDSM. And that's an old name for it. There's some new politically correct name, but that's what I'm referring to it as. It's, and that entire community of BDSM revolves around power play.
Is that what we used to, when we were kids, call leather boys? Or is that just a specifically gay part of that?
Leather boys, I don't know, leather boys... It used to, you know, when you think of Police Academy and that, what was
the
Blue Oyster?
I so wish we had the sound clip of the music to play there,
but when
imagine
you,
we did it.
When you think of the Blue Oyster and you think of the leather daddies and the leather boys, that's a gay side of it that is usually involved in BDSM, but not always. And that's the ones that are specifically gay, turned on by either wearing or having their partner wear the leather outfits, the feel of animal skin and the
gimp from Pulp Fiction.
Not even really that, because most wouldn't go for the gimp thing. But leather
Rob Halford from Judas Priest.
Yeah, there you go. Rob Halford from Judas Priest, or it's kind of weird because it was an offshoot at one time of, you know, gay people that enjoyed heavy metal kind of got into the leather scene because that's where they were at home. You've got the leather, the chains, the rings, the all that kind of accessorizing, and they love it. And that they may be involved in BDSM, they may not. They may just enjoy the outfits.
Well, speaking of BDSM, I don't get that. You know, again, I don't get it. To me, sex should be both parties enjoying it. And I get there is enjoyment. So enjoyment's in quotes there. Okay.
Okay. But both parties
equally giving and taking. To me, BDSM, coming at it from the outside, looks like one party's giving, one party's taking, and that's it. And I'm not trying to sound alarmist here, because I know it's consensual. But it's almost a rape dynamic. That one is taking from the other, even if the other is giving it willingly, in this case, where the consent comes in. I don't get that, because I don't like dominating somebody else, and I definitely do not like being dominated.
Oh, you alert the news media.
Hey, fuck you! See? Not letting you get over on me, motherfucker.
Yeah, I know. But anyway... You may not, and I understand, and your attitude is a vanilla attitude and a perfectly acceptable one. And when it comes to BDSM, though, you do have those individuals that get an immense sexual thrill by giving control over to another person.
Is that the same as the humiliation thing? Because, like, I saw I don't remember what movie it was. And I mean a real adult movie, not movie, where people would be, like, trussed up in leather and used as furniture. And that was their big get-off, that they wanted to be furniture. And, the two guys were forming a couch that the mistress would sit on. And I'm like, what the fuck did the... How did the... What?
Okay, let's boil this down to its absolute basic side here. And the absolute basics of it, whether you're talking about people objectifying people, and when I say objectifying, I don't mean objectifying as in, ooh, look at that Playboy centerfold.
But the fact that it's all consensual...
But the fact that you are actually turning them into objects, like furniture.
Objectification... I can't even think of how to differentiate the word the same way you were trying to.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. Actually turning people into objects, whether it's that, whether it is being tied up, whether it is, Japanese rope play, whether it's
Vietnamese fuck swings,
whether there is pain involved or not. If you boil it all down to it, to its absolute basics, it's a power dynamic. It's funny because you said there's almost a rape dynamic. Well, one particular leg of the BDSM community, of the kink community in general, is rape fantasy and rape fantasy enactment.
Right.
And there are people that will literally hand money over, or if there's no money exchange, they will come to an agreement of, at some point between Monday and Thursday, you're going to be abducted and raped. And
have you ever seen the movie Behind the Green Door?
Well, hang on.
No, I'm not changing the subject.
I know.
Have you ever seen the movie Behind the Green
Door? It's been a long time. I have, but it's been a very long time.
Okay, now, they never explicitly say this. They do leave it up to the audience. But all this stuff that happens to Marilyn Chambers in that movie is very much a rape fantasy. And the very last couple of shots give you the implication that this was something she was willingly involved in right from the get-go.
Okay.
And that's 72, and arguably one of the most mainstream porns ever.
Fair enough. Well, even if you boil it down from rape fantasy enactment to, like I said, being tied up to rope play to you name it, it boils down to power. And generally, kink spans all income brackets, all races, and assuming 18 and up, all ages. What I've noticed, though, is that a lot of people involved in the kink community and a lot of people that are secretly involved in the kink community are very, very powerful business players. I was, when I went down to Chicago with my friend and we went to the particular club and had our weekend and stuff, I was amazed at the amount of people who in their day-to-day jobs have three-letter titles, CEO, CIO, COO, et cetera, et cetera. And I was even more amazed, and I noticed that a lot of these very powerful people that run these businesses were subs. And a lot of people that took the more dominant role, whether that, whatever that role involved, it was the more dominant role, were people like me.
Well, then, what about something like, when you see these parodied in relative pop culture, how far off is, like, in the pilot episode of the 1999 TV series Action, Jay Moore runs across a Disney executive that's wearing a French male, wearing a French maid's outfit, a koala mask, and licking her boots and scrubbing the floors. And he's like, man, you Disney guys are fucking sick. We still on for lunch on Thursday? Yeah, okay. Like, is that really an exaggeration, or do you think that was, yeah, that probably happened?
I'm not about to name any Disney executives, but it could very well have happened. I mean, and it's imagine we're running, let's say 1201 takes off and 1201 Beyond Productions just becomes huge. And we end up buying Sony Pictures and we end up buying Columbia. Well, that's Sony Pictures now. And we end up buying Universal.
All right. So, all right. Since you're into sphere science fiction, why don't we just get a fucking space station?
Exactly. We get a space station and we run the Western Hemisphere of Earth.
I only want to do that if I can be a supervillain.
I know. Well, trust me, you wouldn't be anything but a supervillain. But we get a space station. We run the Western Hemisphere of Earth. We're extremely powerful executives, more or less. Day in and day out, we make decisions that change.
Literally affect the world.
That literally affect the world, that change lives. Well, these executives at these companies aren't that far off. I mean, you know, when you've got a three-letter title like that, chief executive officer, chief information officer, chief operations officer, the decisions that you make for your business affect not only you and your bottom line, but the lives. The COO, I've met the COO of where I work, and it's a semi-national chain, so he makes a decision.
Relatively powerful.
Yeah, he makes a decision. It's going to affect people all the way down to my level, and my level being, you know, I'm about to become management from being an absolute peon to being a middle manager. And imagine the pressure that you may feel from, let's say you run GM. Imagine the pressure that you feel from your liberal daughter who wants to make the world great and pass out roses to everybody and doesn't quite understand how capitalism works, all the way to auto industry unions and how powerful they can be and all of these decisions that you make, and it's all everybody turning to you to make this decision. How wonderful would it be some weekend to turn to somebody like me, somebody in a dominant role, and say, I'm done making decisions. I'm yours. I'm a tool. Use me. Yeah. I want to make no decisions.
I'm just, that's, to me, I feel weird when I'm not allowed to make decisions.
And that's, I understand. And you have by far the, what we would consider the sexually normative role.
But I like fat girls.
You're still pretty sexually normative. I hate to say it.
Even liking fat girls?
Yeah, even liking fat girls. Yeah. You live in the right, you live in the right country to like fat girls, I'll tell you that much.
Hell yeah.
But nonetheless,
I don't know. From the internet videos I've seen, Germany's got a lot of them on the tube sites are speaking German. I've said too much.
But anyway,
I said too much.
Yeah, we're done. But yeah, imagine some weekend just being able to go, I'm done making decisions. Nobody turns to me and nobody looks to me. Nobody, I'm not making any decisions. You run my life.
But then that's different than the making furniture out of somebody.
No, it isn't.
Or humiliation.
No, it isn't. When it comes to the furniture and what I'm going to call, wrongly, because I can't think of the correct word, objectification, what you are doing is you are putting them in a position of
literally,
you are not important. You're a couch. I'm going to use you to stretch out.
But from what I understand of like mistresses and dominatrixes and that, sex, as in orgasm, insertions and that, is rarely part of it. So why is it a sex fetish then, at least, you know, in general, when sex, in the way we would traditionally think of sex, is not involved? Because technically a lot of the mistresses say, I can't sexually touch them because that's prostitution then.
Right.
What I do is not prostitution, therefore sex cannot be involved.
On the professional scene, for the dominatrices that you pay and for the professionals, that's true. Sex can't really be involved. And so it's still, that doesn't mean that a person cannot reach orgasm. For instance, if we were in a dom sub dealer, or if I were if I were acting as dominant to someone, even on a professional level, I can order them to masturbate.
And I would think that would still qualify under the prostitution rules as sex, I would think.
Nope, because absolutely no fluid exchange happened. And absolutely, you know, you're treading the line at that point. But, you know, phone sex is legal. And somebody dominating you over the phone can order you to masturbate or order you to stop or anything like that.
What about
in the kink club scene where no money actually trades hands other than, say, dues to the club or donations to make a, you know, to make a building available or whatever? Sex is a huge part of it. And I'm talking penetrative sex. And whether it be oral or anal or vaginal or ocular or in the ear or the belly button, you know, or some other tool, it's a big, big part of it.
But then you've got other weird, and again, I just kind of unintentionally got condescending, weird fetishes. Personally, I'm willing to accept what other people do to a degree. When children are involved, no. Line has been stepped over, leapt over.
I agree.
Because, and you know, different people define children differently. I'm sorry, 18. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
I'm not going with this, well, Alabama, it's 15. No. They're still a child. I don't care if that specific state or specific country says it's not. You're still a fucking child.
We'll say 18. And I can tell you that in every kink community I've ever been part of, no one under 18. In fact, in most of them, it's no one under 21.
But then the other one that I don't know if it's because we're just seeing it more or if it's probably always been just as loud, for lack of a better term. But I don't get the animal thing, man. I really don't understand bestiality. I tried to watch that movie Zoo, that documentary about, oh my God, I'm going to get as condescending as I can. You're sick if you're into animals or animals are into you. Okay? Take me to task if you have to, but I think you are mentally fucked. The same way as if you're into kids.
See, there are tons of philia, which is the deriving sexual
pleasure. And I've seen Linda Lovelace take the knot.
And we've seen, you know, you've seen pedophilia, and we both condemn that one. Both of us also condemn zoophilia. I am one to say that if you cannot consent, or if if something involved cannot legally consent, which includes animals and children, and in some cases the mentally disabled, like the severely mentally disabled and such like that, if you cannot consent, you are not part of it. And the kink community as a whole, as in the ones that are actually, you know, active, they fight that all the time because people lump pedophilia and zoophilia in with the other kinks that are out there.
I'm going to throw a third one in where I draw a line.
Okay.
Necro.
Again, dead people can't consent.
But this is a growing thing. You go to any of the porno sites, these are legitimate categories now, and that scares me.
I don't get it.
To me, and you know how much I love porn, I think porn is gaining relative mainstream acceptance. But these are certain ones I don't think should get mainstream acceptance. I know how Republican and almost balderistic that makes me sound, but there are certain things that should not become mainstream acceptance. And these are things I think they're underground for a reason, and I personally find them offensively bad.
I agree with you 100%. We can't, and that's why what I'm trying to do, Josh, is say that yes, you've mentioned these things that are popping up on the internet. I think the internet making this stuff more easily shared, that's why we're seeing more of it. But I want to separate that and just say that's not what I'm talking about when I say kink community. That is not at all what I'm talking about.
All right.
You know, like I say, pedophilia out, Zoophilia out. Necrophilia out. Anything that cannot consent, legally cannot consent, cannot play a part within this community and be accepted by all. They will be accepted by their own community, which I look at and go, you bunch of sickos, but that's
well,
me.
Then what about how, let's go back to mainstream acceptance of just the general, you know, kink thing. Why do you think it's become so mainstream that you start to see BDSM and all this stuff on primetime TV, on soap operas? I mean, why do you think there was even a cartoon? It was like one of the Nicktoons or something like that, where somebody was in, in like kind of the gimp from Pulp Fiction kind of gear, and one was just like, "Nope, not doing it," and they turn around, and I'm like, "This has become so mainstream that does that redefine it?" Then
see, there have been references on Family Guy even, and other animated stuff. So yeah. I don't know if it redefines it. It is what it is, and I think...
But kink, by definition, is non-mainstream. So if kink goes mainstream, then is it still kink?
Yes, it's still kink. Because within the kink community, and the kink community defines itself, there's vanilla, which is man-woman, man-man, woman-woman. Not all at once. That's not quite vanilla, but...
That's orgy.
That's orgy, but... man, two people enjoying what we would consider vanilla or standard sexual congress, whether it be homosexual or heterosexual, it's a standardly accepted standard of sexual congress.
Well, 'cause
and kink means going beyond that. And the kink communities that I'm talking about, the dominatrices that do it professionally and stuff like that, the kink community that I run with looks at those and goes, oh, isn't that quaint? I once saw a guy for fun stop a woman's heart. He started it again a few minutes later, but there, there's blood play, blade play, water play, rope play. But there's
Like, go back to the 1970s, and I'm talking in both the legal sense and in just how often people were doing it. Now, you have to leave gay men out of this because that's a totally different thing. Look at anal sex. Anal sex, in a recent study that I just read about, I think on Salon.com even, was that women engaging in anal sex has risen over 70% in the last 15 to 20 years. So that used to be kink. In the 1970s, anal sex was kink. A girl taking it up the butt was kink.
Okay.
Now.
See, I don't think so.
Now, literally, in high school, that's how girls are avoiding getting pregnant. Just do me in the butt.
See,
so to me, the kink became the mainstream.
And it's not that I think that the kink became the mainstream. I don't think there's any more anal sex happening now than there was in the 70s. I think they're talking about it more. And I think people are beginning to look at it and go, let's study this. Let's look at this. Let's scientifically and sociologically, people are starting to study it now. And when it comes to the relatively vanilla kink of tying somebody up or the gimp mask or, whatever, something like that, people are looking and going, wait a minute, I'm not the only one that enjoys this. And I can communicate with others. And we discover that it's a little bit more mainstream than we thought it was.
But you see why I had to exclude gay men out of that, because part of gay men is anal, so...
Not always, but
I said
okay.
Part of.
I know. And that's what I'm saying. Not always.
I had to exclude gay men from that, because that would have skewed the numbers but nonetheless, in the wrong direction. But to me, I see that changing. The same way, this is a couple of years out of date, HBO did a documentary series called Pornucopia Going Down in the Valley. Which, by the way, is a fantastic title. But they said, and this is like 2006 or so, the fastest growing fetish area in the porno industry was fat and ugly women. And it kind of made you kind of go, but why?
Attainable.
What socio-political things have been happening that would make that arguable kink? You called that vanilla, but technically it's kink and fetish. why would all of a sudden, because people are not going to be able to get the supermodel. You're not going to be, outside of jerking off, you're never going to fuck the supermodel. You can get that girl at last call. Little heavy, little bit of crow's feet, you know, you can get her. So I think the sociopolitical element feeds into how kink is devoured in a non-sexual sense.
Right. And that's what I'm, and I think the kink community, as one practice becomes mainstream or is accepted by the mainstream, you move on and you find the next extreme.
And but then does that not accidentally push the extreme to becoming more extreme?
Not accidental at all. Part of being part of the kink community is learning your limits. Learning your limits as a dom, learning your limits as a sub. And, you know, whether if you're into it, if you're a pain sub, you have to learn your pain limits and push those limits as far as you can. If you're a dom, I'm a relatively vanilla dom. I really am. I can't do what a lot of people... I can't do the blade play. I can't do the blood play. I can't do the medical and surgical play and stuff where you have to have an ambulance standing by.
Let me ask you this.
But I'm always pushing my limits.
This is on the same subject. Remember on Videodrome when Debbie Harry and James Woods first sleep together and she asks him to... Take the pins or the needles and shove them through her earlobes. And then to make herself, in her words, feel alive sexually, she would burn herself with cigarettes. Like that kind of thing. Because that's 1983 relative extreme for a mainstream. Oh my God, I just called Videodrome a mainstream film. It was released by Universal, so technically it was. But you see where I'm going with this, right?
Yes. And... Yeah, and pain subs, to explain where it's coming from them, there is a psychological link between pleasure and pain. There is a very thin line. I mean, you know, think of a woman, if you're having vanilla sex with a woman and she grabs her and digs her nails into your back as she comes or something, and I mean really digs them in and goes nuts. Did you almost wear those scars as pride?
I almost had my head crushed between thighs once.
There you go.
And I nearly drowned. I'll just leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that. But no, at the same time, did you get, and I'm not talking necessarily an orgasmic thrill, but did you get a thrill about giving that woman that much pleasure?
Yes, but not the claws in the back, because that shit fucking hurts.
And, well, but imagine... But,
and again, I'm not into pain, so that did not stimulate me.
But imagine somebody that is, and that's how they discover it. And that's usually how it's discovered, honestly.
By accident.
By accident, claws in the back.
That was the other thing I was going to ask.
Sure.
To shift this a little bit. How do you find the kink you're into? Again, let's leave out necro, animal, and kid, because that's wrong.
That's like I said, that's completely separate show. Like, we don't have to
How do you find out that being a cutter, which I think is also dangerous, but how do you find out that being a cutter is what turns you on? Or you've seen the Chuck Berry video of him eating the frozen poop off of women's back, right?
No, but okay.
Like, how it made me wonder. Chuck Berry would have girls eat certain foods and then poop, and then he'd freeze it and use it for his own sexual gratification. The video leaked out. My question is, how in the fuck do you find out that's your kink? Use the Chuck Berry as an example. How do you find out that I like eating little balls of poop off of women's backs? That seems oddly specific.
You explore.
But how do you even get to that point?
Well, there are... You find others... Okay. Let's say in typical teenage deal, I discover that woman clawing my back really did something for me.
That was like a trial and error.
So I say, wow, honey, that's great. Do it again. Do it harder. Do it more. You explore with your girlfriend, and then she freaks out on you, and you find another one. And you keep pushing until, and the internet is great because the internet, what you can do is you can go anonymously out there and go, here's what I've discovered so far. Who can I explore with?
Well, and you used to be able to do that just with those
personal ads and stuff like that, or
they used to have like
whores.
No, Hustler always came when I had a subscription to Hustler in the late 80s. It always came with this supplement like once or twice a month. Since I'm in Wisconsin, it was the Wisconsin Minnesota's like swingers guide or some shit like that. It had all that stuff. It was kind of like personals, but in a specific book you had to buy, if like that makes
kink
sense.
Personals, more
yeah,
or less.
Yeah, and that's how you used to do it in the late 80s and early 90s, well, I'm sure way in the 70s, by mail, for lack of a better way to do it.
Yes. And
I don't know if that made it easier or harder, just made it take longer.
Just made it take longer. And but, you know, the internet now, you can Google, this makes me feel good, am I weird? And it'll pop up. And usually, you know, alt.com is a great place to find plenty of people in the kink community. And yeah, you can, you know, Craigslist, you can put an ad out there. That's kind of dangerous these days, but you can.
When we worked at the station, who I almost just said, how many stories did we run about Craigslist ad hookups that
going
went wrong?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, you know, now you can communicate out there and you can communicate anonymously, which the thing that drove kink underground in the first place, I think, is number one, if you're into the extreme stuff that requires a paramedic being on site, or
I think you've got an issue there,
or requires, I'm not going to say that you, because I don't think they have an issue, but no, or requires lots and lots of pre-planning with a safe word. And you know, if you're talking about an abduction fantasy or something like that, it used to be a whole lot more difficult to find people that got off on the same thing you do.
That's because in cases like that, I would guess your fantasy, whatever it is so elaborate that even if someone has a similar one, their key changes might be a make or break kind of situation, you know?
It can be, and you know, if it does get that elaborate where you are talking a full-scale abduction, and people pay for this. People, it can cost up to $5,000-$6,000 per abduction.
I actually saw one. It was, I get LA news. So yeah, a couple of years ago in LA, somebody was doing something like that, which obviously I didn't know at the time. Well, somebody saw it and shot the motherfucker doing it.
Right.
Thinking he was saving a woman from being raped. That's the kind of danger I don't think you really think through. And there are other motherfuckers not involved that can really... what if a cop happened to be on patrol right then?
That's why you need clubs and safe spaces and stuff like that for, you know, with members that understand and know what's going on and everything. Not to mention lawyers on staff. It's a good thing that all of these powerful people are kind of into kink because it costs a lot of money.
I know this is Law and Order. I saw one where they busted a kink club, and they were like busting the madam that ran it, and she's like, let me get my lawyer, and she pulls up this gimp, and then it's like, oh, that's just wrong and kind of funny at the same time.
That's not, you know, far off. That's not far off from the truth, though. I'm amazed at how many lawyers are not only subs but subs into the extreme side. But nonetheless, but yeah, you know, you'll have lawyers on staff, you'll have contracts, you'll have agreements, not, you know, you spell out your limits in the absolute beginning, and then you push them, or you butt right up against them. And like I said, it can get expensive to do this, and I guarantee for every man or woman that gets off on being abducted, there's at least one man or woman that gets off on abducting.
Well, what about when, especially in the porno world, when you find out that what you thought was intentionally unerotic, people do get off on? Does that say something? Like the movie Cafe Flesh. When Steven Saadian made that movie, he wanted to make the most unerotic, most almost I'm daring you to get hard during these sex scenes. And then he found people jerking off to him, and he was like, really?
Yeah.
You know, he was like, really? I kind of did this specifically to go, no one's going to, yes, it's sex, it's porn. No one's going to get off on this. And then he found out, what, you mean a guy wearing a pencil for a head that's fucking a woman in front of a bunch of oil derricks while his secretary is taking notes, and a rat is fucking a woman in a 1950s setting with giant bearded men in baby costumes banging bones behind her? That's somebody's fantasy?
God damn, that's hot.
You haven't seen Cafe Flesh, have you?
No, I haven't. I want to, though. But yeah, I mean, it's a basic rule of the internet. And it's, you know, if you can think of it, there is a porn of it.
Which is sad, I think.
Which,
in a way, I do think it is sad, because everything doesn't need to be erotic. I mean, like, I know people, I've met a guy who, I swear with how excited he gets when he talks about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, there's no way he doesn't masturbate to something TMNT related.
Okay.
And that's just a little disturbing to me. Maybe that's me being condescending. But there's something disturbing about that.
Possibly, but, you know, at the same time, you know, there's a huge community that likes drawing Disney cartoons nude.
It's just like one community I totally don't get, and I'm about to be fucking burned in effigy here. I do not fucking get furries. I do not understand these people at all. This is not in the three we don't speak of category, but I do not get it.
I didn't. I at one point I did not get furries, and then it kind of hit me. Actually, it didn't kind of hit me. It was explained to me, and it was the furry community. Remove the animalistic side. I mean, just for just a moment, and just. If you can imagine yourself being a furry and enjoying furry things, it's an escapism for many. I'm not saying all furries, but for many, it's an escapism. It's a chance to not only not be yourself, but to create a personality that you've always wanted and never been able to express, or that you've wanted to explore and haven't had the chance. And it's a chance to explore not necessarily not being human, but explore those more animalistic traits within humans.
And see, I just do not get that. To me, if you need to put on a costume to, quote, be the person you've always wanted to be, then you are not a fully realized person. You need to just stop being a pussy and go out and be that person. You don't need the costume. That it's a crutch. That's a crutch to you becoming your potential.
And that's you being
condescending.
No, it's not, I'm not saying you being condescending, because it's not. It's you being an extrovert. You and I are both extroverts. We talked about this upstairs before the show. We enjoy, I've realized that you hate people, but you love being around them.
I'm going to quote Clerks.
Yeah.
I hate people, but I love gatherings. It's weird.
Yeah. And I'm an extrovert. I love having people around. I thrive having people around. If you are an extreme introvert like Dawn, my wife, or Meg, one of the girls that I work with, or anything like that, then the stress that you and I experience being truly alone is the same stress that they get when people are around. And so if you're an introvert, or if you have the type of personality to where you can't get up and face the world and get out on the stage and be the person you want to be, sometimes putting on a costume is enough to, it's a hardened candy shell of protection is what it is.
But by doing that, you are opening yourself up to the ridicule that you're so afraid that the real you is going to get. So all you're doing is, you are deflecting, and I think that's unhealthy on a mental level, really. Deflection is always unhealthy, but also the fact that it shows you are more willing to live in a fantasy world whether it's a meticulously constructed self-fantasy or the fantasy that you think the real world is, than you are in reality. That's dangerous. And I'm about to double my effigy quota here. I think that's what cosplayers do. The people that, and I know we're moving off of sex, but the people that dress up as a character and kind of, they don't, I am Joe playing Captain America. No, no, no. They, I am Captain America for the day. I think that's crazy. I think there's mental issues involved.
I don't.
Now, if you're going to burn an effigy, I would like it to at least be to scale, please, if you're going to do this.
I think, Josh, I honestly, I think that the mental issues are on your side. The condescension, the short-sightedness, the...
And that's not unfair.
You know, and that's just where I am. I think that the mental issues are on
your side. And I don't think you're necessarily wrong in to say that.
And what I'm saying is that... If your life, okay, your life right now, we're not hiding from anyone, sucks.
My life's a complete and utter mess.
Your life is a complete and utter mess. Well, one way that you can do that is the Josh way, where you're like, get up, man up, fucking grow some balls and go face the world and fix it.
Yeah, I'm living through my issues.
And that's one way that usually extroverts and such deal with it. The other way of dealing with it is walk away. And that's what being a furry, that's what being a cosplayer, that's what taking on a dominant personality. I am shit on at work. I'm a peon. I'm nothing. I'm working my way up to management, and I'm going to work my way through and hopefully join the corporate side of things if I keep working.
Honestly, that would be pretty cool.
I'm trying.
I know you are. I'm just saying it'd be pretty cool to see you in a corporate setting.
And to tell you the truth, the reason why I have started expressing my dominant side, and the reason why in the kink community, this community that is part of a lot of anonymous people, a lot of people that don't want other people to know that they're involved with it, the reason why I walk in there and treat a CEO of a company or something like that like absolute shit and humiliate them if that's what they want, piss on them if that's what they want... Notice also,
if
don't ever get confused to saying that a sub is not in control. A sub is in control at all times. They can pull the big stop cord at any given moment.
But you know what? You were saying that, I just noticed something.
What's that?
Was Fight Club an analogy to that kind of thing?
Because
Fight Club only exists during the hours that Fight Club exists. You know, the man, I'm paraphrasing, but the man you meet in that ring, in that basement, is not the same man you might meet walking down the street.
Yes.
So, did I miss it? Was Chuck Palahniuk kind of making a parallel, or do those just two things happen to coincide?
I don't know.
Because with Palahniuk, it's a possibility.
With Palahniuk and with the communities that he runs in, it is very Choke. Much. I met him. But look... Yes, it's possible that Palahniuk was deliberately making a parallel.
Sex club parallel.
And that's very... Fight Club is very much... I can understand that. Fight Club's... I'm sorry, but it's the same kind of high. And yeah, when I was in college, I was part of Fight Clubs. And I would go and beat the fuck out of some motherfucker, and I would get beaten by another motherfucker, and... You would walk away with that same high that Tyler Durden got.
Well, so then let me ask this about like the sub-dom thing.
And that's throw in the sexual high and you've got the same feeling with dom-sub relationships.
Well, this is what I'm asking. I'm asking this in a seriousness. So it's going to come out snide, but it's not meaning to.
Okay.
Okay. You got a sub and a dom. They do their thing, penetration, whatever happens. Then safe word is said. Everybody's good. Then is it just... See you later, or you want to go get some pancakes?
Let's go get some
pancakes.
No, no, no. I can tell you, for the more extreme the situation is, there is a cool down period.
So there's no getting pancakes after the act?
Maybe, but there's a cool down period. There was a black woman involved in the kink community that I knew that really, really, really wanted to explore. She would read about slavery and she would get turned on. And she would study her history, and she would get turned on by this thing that her race is supposed to hate. Imagine being part of that community and then finding the kink community. And even within the kink community, when she went when she went to a white man and said, I want you to be my massa, and I want to be a slave, and I want to be treated like a slave working the cane fields, that was one that sociologically, no, not touching that with a 10-foot pole, you know, and
or 10-foot switch
or 10-foot whip. And I'm not doing it. Finally, she found someone to do it. And here is this lifelong quest that she has had since she was a teenager. And when this happened, she happened to be in her late 30s, early 40s, somewhere around there. And finally, they found a very large white man who threw himself into the role. Me and a few guys and some other carpenters got together, and we actually built a barn for them to play in. And it was a barn, you know, specs were right, rope was right that was in there, whips were right.
What are you, half fucking Amish? Good old-fashioned barn raising.
Yeah, well, there you go. Everything was right and to period, and there are always others around so that if things go too far, and because it can happen to where somebody's life is in danger or something like that, you literally pull them apart. Well, after this scene played out, and after she had absolutely submitted, and by no choice of her own, completely submitted as a negress to a white man, they could not speak to one another for 2 or 3 weeks, to where it got to both of them so much. And imagine, I'm not just talking about a surface sexual pleasure of spurt, spurt, we're done. I am talking about the type of relationship and pleasure that absolutely hits you in the core of your being.
Oh, I get what you're talking about.
Yeah, this shook them.
Even if I don't understand it, I understand what you're saying, if that makes sense. I would like to say, so then Charlie McMullen, in one of what I think is one of his wittiest jokes, kind of, it was along the same lines. How accurate would this be then overall? The Charlie McMullen joke, and he delivers it much better than I will, but is, you know, if there's one community out there that I would think wouldn't be into S&M, it would be black people. If you think there's one ethnicity that would not find whipping erotic, it would be black people. It's supposed to be say my name, not what's your name. The safe word should not be Toby.
And
which, by the way, is a funny, witty, shitty fucking joke, isn't it?
I'm going to have to hear Charlie McMullen say it.
Hey, fuck you on that then.
No, fuck you. But the thing is, within the community, yeah, I mean, there's all of that outside. The sociology doesn't stop just because you walk into the kink club. It just gets a little bit more complicated.
Okay.
And so, yeah, seriously. And you want to, I mean, gay, not even gay, black people on the sub side of S&M are hated by their own race for the most part. Not for all of them.
Uncle Tom? Is it sort of an extreme Uncle Tom?
No, it's more of kind of like the feminist looking at the cheesecake and going, you're setting the woman's movement back 50 years. Well, imagine being able to look at a member of your own race and say, everything that, you know, because of what you're doing and because you're willing to submit to this white man, everything that Martin Luther King fought for, everything that Malcolm X fought for,
etc., was worthless, isn't it?
But it's a common one. But anyway, that's getting more along the sociological side of things than
that's actually more about the mainstream acceptance than the actual
right
sexual gratification or whatever. Right. But
we gotta go, Josh. And I
hope I didn't derail this too much.
I appreciate all of the questions. I hope we got you guys thinking about it. If you're interested at all in the kink community, get in touch with us and I'll answer what questions I can. So
get in touch with Scott.
or get in touch with Josh and ruminate on how much of a weirdo I am.
And also, I want good effigies, people. Please.
Talk to you later. patreon.com/lostinthestatic.
Lost in the Static is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.